Coming up on podcast 1345, China's number one EV last year sold 400,000 units. But what is it? Stick around, I'll tell you more. Also on the podcast today, getting CarPlay to work on your Tesla gets a little bit closer. Battery swapping starts from CATL and the electric scooter company making 1,000 of them a day. Well, those stories and many more coming up on your edition of the podcast today. Good morning, good afternoon, maybe good evening, but wherever you're listening around the world, welcome to EV News Daily. First one of the working week, Monday 17th of January. My name is Martin Lee, and I've been through every EV story to tell you here's what's happening today. By the way, tomorrow on Tuesday's show, it is the fourth anniversary of this podcast, so there will be a separate podcast all about the future of this show. Now, if you don't care, just delete it. For the handful of people, and my mum, who care about that, then feel free to listen to it. It won't be very long. It'll be telling you about all of the feedback that I had from all of you, the listeners, over the last week, and what we're going to be doing differently in the future. Stopping some things, starting some things, a few new things as well, a few things changing. So look out for that tomorrow. But like I say, won't have any actual news in. So if you see one in your feed, just feel free to delete it. Now, welcome to a new Patreon executive producer. Welcome back, I should say, Mark Richards. The thing I love about Patreon, people come, people go, people's life changes in seasons as people can afford or not afford to support what they do, like podcasts or YouTube channels. And people love to support independent creators because they know that they're not being funded by advertising and, you know, certain things they have to say because otherwise it would offend people. So that's why I love the Patreon model. And Mark, once again, is an executive producer of the podcast. Welcome back, sir. Your name is in the show notes as always. Right, we'll start with a story from Switzerland. It's that time of the year when all the 2021 numbers are being totted up. And we can see that in Switzerland, car sales are reaching tipping point for electric power. The number of new electric cars sold in Switzerland is accelerating faster than predicted, according to the TCS, the Touring Club of Switzerland. It's a car association. For September to November period, looking towards the end of the year, it was even higher than the whole year average. For the end of the year, it was up to 18.3% of new cars sold. And plug-in vehicles, so if you count pure electrics and plug-in hybrids, was 28% for pretty much the last quarter of the year. That's amazing. 28% is a really, really big share of any car market. Now, yes, there are markets like the US where it's a couple of percent of new cars, like Japan, 1%. And then you go to Norway at the other end, which 90% of all new cars have a plug on. So Switzerland really going up the rankings there. That 18.3% threshold for full electrics is a real milestone, says the TCS. Electric vehicles going beyond the tipping point into the mainstream. Now, in Switzerland, incentives for plug-in vehicles aren't really coordinated, and they do vary between cantons. And so I don't really understand the subsidy structured there in Switzerland. If you can help me out, then let me know. The top five models I could find, though, were number one in 2021, the Tesla Model 3. Number two, the Volkswagen ID3. In third place, Skoda Enyaq. In fourth, the Renault Zoe. And in fifth, the Fiat 500. The Model Y from Tesla not being in the top five cars. That might change this year as more arrive from Berlin when it finally opens. Now, getting into your car is very simple if it works with your mobile phone or if you have your key in your pocket. Lots of cars have keyless entry these days. But what about getting that to work on more vehicles? Well, Apple are in the business with their digital car key feature. And it works with BMWs, a handful of BMWs right now. But next, Hyundai are going to be rolling out to their electric vehicles. Firstly, with the likes of their more upmarket EV brand Genesis. New EVs from Genesis will support Apple Car Key. It's happening this summer. And I would say that pretty much all of the models that come out from the Hyundai, at least the Genesis name, is going to be compatible. And some trims of even the Hyundai Ioniq 5 and the Kia EV6 actually have an NFC reader for a digital key. Car Key, and there's an Android equivalent of this as well, treats your phone like a physical key. Just have your phone in your pocket or even have your Apple Watch on you. Get it close to the door and the door will unlock. And some cars require you to place your phone in a given position inside the car in order to start the car. Some with more advanced technology like ultra wideband, iPhone 11 onwards, you can have your phone in your pocket or your purse and you just start the car. So no car keys, no cards, anything like that, just using your phone. For many people who don't have that at the moment with their car, that would be a real added benefit. Now, what about adding Apple CarPlay to a Tesla. Now, I've long said on this podcast, happy to be proven wrong at some point in the future, Tesla will never officially have Apple CarPlay and Android Auto because I think Tesla have an eye on the future when they have their own app store. And just like at the minute, you've got a phone full of apps, whatever ecosystem you're in, that you must have spent hundreds or thousands on. I think Tesla will do the same. I think Tesla will have an app store inside their ecosystem, and you'll be buying apps that do certain things inside your car. Maybe your favorite charging app that'll, I don't know, link up with third-party chargers or something, and they'll be charging the $199, $299, $499 for the apps, and therefore, if they hooked up Apple and Android to their cars, like everyone else does, that would mean, well, I'll just use my phone because I've got all my apps. Whereas if you had to then rebuy them for your car, or there's a new game that you want for $20, $30, $40, $50, $100, like games are not cheap if you're not into gaming, by the way. Some serious money to be made, especially if the latest Teslas can play the latest games as well. So I think they're going to go down that route. They'll never officially have Apple and Android. I believe it's a revenue stream for them in the future. That hasn't stopped Polish developer Michał Kępiński coming up with his own way of getting Apple CarPlay into his Tesla. In images and video posted to Twitter last week, his Tesla was running CarPlay. The clips spotted by Tesla North show the feature being pretty functional, like Apple Maps, Apple Music all working. He bypassed the Wi-Fi restrictions of the car so that Tesla's browser connected to a secondary device. In turn, the browser displayed what's shown on the host device as live video. Currently, early stages, and that secondary device, what was it? Well, it was a Raspberry Pi running Android. So you've got to use a Raspberry Pi and you've got to run Android just to run Apple inside your Tesla. It sounds convoluted, but I guess if you really, really want to, he will release it to the public when it's polished, he says. Okay, moving on. I love tritium chargers. Prove me wrong. I think they're so good, right? Every tritium charger I've used seems to be reliable. It seems to just work. The Australian charging company is now public. They've done a reverse merger with a SPAC, S-P-A-C company. They're now on the NASDAQ listed. Tritium plans to invest the money generated, that capital by the IPO, to expand to 3 global manufacturing facilities. According to electrive.com, who writes, going public by merging with an already listed company has become the most utilized method for going public in the US. Tritium currently has manufacturing in Australia. They're building a factory in the USA. And the CEO, Jane Hunter, recently telling Bloomberg that Tritium's ramping up speed to get its US manufacturing facility ready as soon as possible. I love their hardware. They've got some really fast stuff coming out as well. I guess having that made in 3 different places around the world will certainly help get their hardware in more places. Shell doing a deal with them recently. I reported that on the podcast, goodness knows when, because time flies. It could have been 2 weeks or 2 months ago, but I remember reading about Shell signing up Tritium to put chargers on all of their forecourts as Shell moves big time into EV charging. Now, headline story, 400,000 units of China's number one EV were sold last year, but what is it? A Tesla Model 3, Model Y maybe? No, it's General Motors and their joint venture with SAIC GM Wuling and the Mini EV. Numbers today published by the China Passenger Car Association for all of last year show 395,451 examples of the Mini EV were sold over the course of the year. The best-selling EV in China, ahead of a car by BYD, sold 200,000 odd of that, so it's way ahead of the competition. Now, the Mini EV is priced from just over $4,000 equivalent in China. Now, they do say, reports say that each unit has a profit margin of $14. So the margins are tiny, but they do sell lots of them. And anyway, they make a lot of money from carbon credits for selling so many vehicles. That might be where the real money is. All right, coming up on the podcast very, very soon. Stick around. We're talking about the new Peugeot E308 and battery swapping from the world's number one EV battery maker, CATL. Stick around. Those stories, they're on the way. All right, moving on, we've mentioned Japan already and their lowly market share of electric vehicles, but what do you do if you're a logistics company in Japan striving to cut costs? And of course, with the pandemic, online shopping has boomed everywhere. They want to use electric vehicles to deliver the goods, but they can't look at the domestic car makers, because the domestic Japanese car makers, let's face it, don't really want to be making EVs in any massive numbers at the moment, not until they can get away with not making any more combustion cars. So, logistics companies in Japan are having to look look elsewhere, and an unlikely white knight in the Chinese EV market. Their vans coming out of China are perfect for last mile deliveries. They're so much cheaper, they're cleaner as well. One company in Tokyo, SBS Holdings, they're a logistics company, they're public, they're listed, they offer deliveries, and they recently did a big deal for 2,000 EV trucks over the next 5 years from the Japanese startup Followfly, which is using Chinese trucks made by Dongfeng. Although Japan isn't currently a huge market for EVs, because the EV market share is 1% versus 30% in some parts of China, Chinese carmakers are sensing an opportunity to move into Japan and steal a march on those Japanese carmakers that, again, are either prevaricating or saying they're not getting into EVs because they're waiting. If Japanese companies just stick to making combustion cars, foreign companies are going to come in, says Horoyasu Koma, the CEO of Followfly, the company working with SBS and Dongfeng on their fleet electrification strategy. And a lot more happening in Japan as well in terms of buying Chinese EVs for fleets. I'll pop a link to japantimes.co.jp in the show notes for you to read more. Now, Autocar got a report on the brand new Peugeot E308, bringing 250 miles of range, they say. Peugeot confirming the pure battery electric variant of the 308, the hatchback, and the estate as well, being more powerful, more efficient, and longer range than the E208. Using older technology, the E308 will join its combustion and plug-in variants when it goes on sale. Not till next year. The battery is a little bigger than they've been putting in those Peugeot E208s. It's 4 kilowatt hours bigger, but they say, using the latest NMC 811 battery chemistry, they think they can get to an efficiency of 5 miles per kilowatt hour. That's 124 watt hours per kilometer. Look, that is crazy, crazy efficient, 5 miles per kilowatt hour. If they can do that and they can nail the efficiency with not only the new cells, but also all the various parts of the powertrain, it would give an E308 a test cycle of 250 miles if you have a 50 kilowatt hour pack inside. Well, the E308 goes into full production in July, but not this July, next year. Deliveries shortly afterwards. Look, they've got 18 months to nail it, and I don't do too many stories about cars that are a ways off, but interesting, that's where Peugeot think they can get to with efficiency. So not necessarily a massive pack, a 50-ish kilowatt hour pack, but some serious mileage for a serious family car. That's a very famous name. Now, CATL, the world's number one EV battery maker, officially confirming today that they're going to hold a launch event for their new battery swapping. They're launching a new brand called EVOGO or EVOGO. Or EVOGO. Anyway, the letters EVOGO in capitals is the new name of the company. And on Tuesday at 3 p.m. Beijing time, they will launch it. They also, in a post on the microblogging platform Weibo, showing CATL's power exchange station, which they was pictured recently looking quite rough. CATL responding to the post saying, "This is only a test station. It's very different from what we're going to see tomorrow." So I will have that for you, hopefully, on the podcast. Don't see why not, because I'm a little bit behind Beijing time. So that should give me plenty of time to watch that or read about it and write it up. Now we go to India and Ola, the Ola scooter company, which fascinates me because I think electric scooters could suit so many people in urban areas. Now, they had some initial delays and some stickiness at startup, but now the high-speed smart electric scooters are ramping up, and the Indian company, according to Electrek, saying that they're going to open up the payment window soon to complete more orders of their S1 and S1 Pro electric scooters. Micah, who writes for Electrek, saying that production rates have soared. They've got 1,000 scooters a day being produced at their own mega factory. They call it the Future Factory. And they will have a capacity of 5,500 a day. That's 2 million scooters a year. Wow. Other end of the scale now, and a number that isn't so impressive, and that's the Jaguar I-Pace. 2021 was challenging for Jag, noting a 16% decrease in their car sales. But what about the I-Pace we're interested in? Well, in Q4, only 2,500 units were sold of the I-Pace. Overall, sales each quarter were flat from about 2,200 to 2,600 per quarter across the year. So 9,970 I-Paces over the entire year. The worst result since the car launched, and lower than the previous 2 years, which is a shame. It's Jaguar. I'd like them to do well. Of course, the I-Pace is a car that I've had for a month. Had it for a month. When Onto sent me one and said, hey, just have the car for free for a month. Let us know what you think. That's when Onto were growing and looking for some feedback. And so that car, I think the I-Pace was deeply impressive. It was damned quick as well and did everything that I wanted it to do with luxury and looked great. Of course, it's expensive, but it's a great EV. Just a great EV. Now, not made by Jaguar, of course. It's made by Magna. They've got their own EV technology, which they could, I suppose, supply Jaguar if Jaguar haven't got anything in the locker. But either way, it's a real shame. And you know, I think that could be a bit of a bargain on the used car market. Now, I don't know if that's your kind of thing. It certainly is for me. Like, I would quite happily have a two-year-old, three-year-old Audi e-tron, Jaguar I-Pace. Of course, I think many people would, actually. But I'm thinking because, you know, family life, we're carrying around more stuff. Not now, definitely, we can't afford it. But in the future, even if the I-Pace was only ever one vehicle that runs for its life cycle, then it disappears off, I think it's still going to be worth decent money, but could be a bit more of a bargain on the used car market because so many people wouldn't have it as their obvious choice. But I mean, it should be. The I-Pace is just brilliant. So a bit of a shame there, the numbers bad for the I-Pace. Now, electric motorsport will be interesting this year, just finishing off the Dakar Rally, and the Audi e-tron, the RSQ e-tron, to give it its full name, won 4 of the 12 stages. Audi is going to kill the competition next year, however, because of its electric power. That's according to ProDrive's chairman David Richards, a famous name in motorsport, the former Formula One team boss and WRC team boss, saying that the FIA, they're the organisers, must analyse and act upon the data from this year's Dakar Rally, because that car was already running 200 kilograms overweight as a weight penalty, and it was still faster than everything else. Yeah, how about that? They made an electric car, it won, it was faster than anything that was burning stuff, and now they're saying, well, this isn't fair, slow down the electrics. What a shame. Next, we'll talk about EV sales overthrowing gas guzzlers in Europe. 2025 is going to be a big crossover year, according to one study in Europe, the EU and the UK combined together. The study was conducted by Element Energy, asking 14,000 people from the UK, France, Italy, Spain, Germany, Poland, and the Netherlands about their attitudes to electric vehicles. And three things that the NextWeb website highlighted from that study. Number one, lower upfront cost makes EVs the most in-demand powertrain from 2025. The respondents saying that the upfront cost is, for them, the most important thing in terms of the powertrain decision, while in second place, driving range, running costs, and charging infrastructure were all behind. I've never seen upfront cost, if I have, I can't remember, upfront cost number one. I think I always see like range or charging number one. That's interesting. People saying as soon as it gets cheaper to buy the vehicle and I'll deal with the other things, access to charging, etc., that's all secondary. The number one thing is the upfront cost. Under a more optimistic scenario, price parity, they think, could be 2028. Well, look, I think it's going to be sooner because car companies are going to realise that everyone wants to buy EVs and, you know, car companies are good at making money. So they'll sell you what makes them money. And anyway, whether it's 2025 or 2028, guess what? In that case, EV sales will dominate 80% of the entire market easily before the end of the decade in Europe. Access to public charging does not limit EV demand is the second finding of this study. But the public did feel it needed to keep up with sales. Most European new car buyers, 59% of new car buyers have access to private off-street charging. So charging isn't an issue, that's 60%. I'm not saying forget about the 40%, and obviously in urban areas, that number is much higher. People haven't got parking. What are the areas that we need to clean up the most to stop giving our children lung disease and asthma and more? Yeah, it's built up urban areas. So a bit of a catch-22. And the third finding, BEVs are the preferred powertrain today, not in the future. Asking today's consumers what their preference is, 73% would prefer a battery electric vehicle if everything else was equal. If the prices were the same, they would buy an EV over ICE. I'll say it again, 73%. 5%. It's mega. I'll put a full link in the show notes to the next web that will link through to the original study, which is a many, many page PDF. I haven't printed it out yet, and I'll go through all the original data over a nice cup of tea. Oh, lovely cup of tea! A little bit later today, and see if I can pull some more out of that. But that looks like it's going to be a long read, so that's one for the sofa while my missus is watching, I don't know, an old Friends or something. Right, final story today, and that is about EV advertising, which links into our question of the week. Car brands collectively ran four times as many national TV ads for EVs in 2021 as they did in either of the previous 2 years. General Motors, Ford, VW, and others spending $248 million in the US on 33,000 advertising spots. That's up from $83 million and 8,000 spots 2 years ago. According to the analytics company EDO, viewers who saw an ad for Audi EVs, for instance, according to one piece of research, were 90% more likely to follow it up. People who are interested in EVs, when you advertise EVs to them, they were 90% more likely to search online following experiencing that commercial. Well, Angela Zepeda, who is the chief marketing officer of Hyundai in America, said this, and I quote, "We really focused before on delivering messages more at a regional level. We were doing direct mail and email and social digital. We're not just assuming that people know about EV technology and now they're just comparison shopping, but it's about teaching," she said. So Hyundai are starting a little bit further back rather than going, "Hey, here's the new IONIQ 5." Hyundai's chief marketing officer saying, "We're running ads going like, hey, here's electric. So before we even get to the cars we've got, what about going electric? Have you thought about it?" Ford's initial advertising, the TV ads they ran for the F-150 Lightning, highlighted the differences to the combustion cars. So the big frunk, the Power Mega Super Frunk, whatever it's called, and also using the truck to power your home during an outage or after a storm or something. These things can't be done by the combustion cars, and it can be by the electric Ford F-150. So they were advertising the points of difference to show people, hey, this is why electric is great. I'll pop a link to Bloomberg in the show notes. You can read more. And that leads on to our question of the week this week with emobilitynorway.com. What TV, print, or digital advertising have you seen recently for EVs which you noticed? Or maybe you thought some of it was memorable. I saw loads on TV over the Christmas period. What TV, advertising, maybe print or digital, have you seen recently, maybe on your social media feed for electric vehicles? Tell me what you've seen. I'd like to do a bit of a poll of the audience of this podcast. What was it and where was it? And let me know. Hello at evnewsdaily.com is my email. Well, thanks as always to the premium partners of this show: Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.